This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
The Mike Wise Show is a presentation of Pure Hoops Media. The Mike Wise Show is hosted by a guy who played basketball atrociously for Hawaii Pacific College, which forced him into journalism. And, oh yeah, he wrote about basketball for the New York Times, the Washington Post, and ESPN. He's also a wise ass, and so are many of his guests. Right, Mike?
Thank you, Darlene. Welcome to the Mike Wise Show. This week, in the final episode of our four-part series on the North Carolina basketball family, we'll address the lasting influence of Dean Smith, who coached UNC for 36 seasons from 1961 to 1997. Our panel of UNC greats is back this week. George Lynch, from the 1993 National Champs, who is co-founder of HBCU Heroes and a partner in Legends Brand USA. George Karl, who played at UNC in the early 1970s and coached in the NBA for 27 seasons. And if anyone from the Hall of Fame committee is listening, George belongs in Springfield. Matt Doherty played and coached at the school and is the author of Rebound from Pain to Passion, Leadership Lessons Learned. As our group of Tar Heel legends told my producer and co-host Bruce Bernstein, Coach Smith may have passed away in 2015, but his legacy endures with their new coach, Hubert Davis.
So Coach Smith retired as coach 24 years ago, but his influence is still very much alive through the Tar Heel family. George Lynch, your college teammate Hubert Davis, is the new head coach at UNC. He also happens to be the nephew of Tar Heel great Walter Davis, speaking of family. So what are some of the characteristics that Hubert is going to bring to the program as the head coach?
I think he will bring continue the family tradition of Carolina, what it means to wear the uniform. I think this newer generation, but sometimes it's more to them about the individual status. And it's always been about team success. With team success, you'll have a lot of individual success. And Hubert wants to get back to that message with the youth of the day. And I think he would do a great job of it.
When Coach Smith took over the program in 1961, he honored the legacy of his predecessor by continuing to recruit aggressively in the New York area.
So the New York connection at UNC started with Coach McGuire almost 70 years ago. Matt, you grew up in East Meadow, Long Island, okay? When you were being recruited, then did the New York connection at the school resonate with you, or had that era mostly sort of passed by?
Oh, it resonated. It resonated. I knew Tommy Kearns, who started on the 57 National Championship team, was a big time Wall Street executive on Wall in New York. So I knew, you know, there was another guy, Bill Harrison, who was a big time banker in New York, who played for Coach Smith. Coach Smith had his tentacles all over the place, and that started with Coach McGuire in New York, and Coach Smith, built on that. New York was important to Carolina basketball. The Northeast was important. Obviously the population was big up there, and there were a lot of good players, you know, Eddie Fogler and Larry Brown, and you go on and on, the New York, New Jersey pipeline, but you could say the Northeast. I mean, George being from Pittsburgh, and jump back to New York, Billy Cunningham. That was important. And I think it was important too to understand that, you know, you weren't the first to go from New York to North Carolina. You know, at that time it was that's big. I mean, you know, I think even more so for George back in the 70s to go from Pittsburgh to North Carolina. That's the South, you know, and my mother was worried about me losing my faith. You know, I'm an Irish Catholic kid from New York. It would have been easier for me to go to Notre Dame or Holy Cross. But Coach Smith assured her that I'd go to church, and, you know, it's one of the best decisions I've ever made to decide to go play basketball for Dean Smith at North Carolina.
It's the best decision I ever made. I would have went to Maryland and been coached by Lefty Giselle. I think it'd be my life would be totally different.
All right, Coach Carl. All right, so you were a Pittsburgher. All right. And Sam Perkins, one of the all-time greats at the school, was a New Yorker, and he played for you in the NBA. And he shared this story about how you guys were so close that you even wore each other's clothes. Take a listen.
Man, Carl was, it has nothing to do with the story, basketball.
That's fine.
But, so he forgot his clothes. And, I mean, he has his, coaches bring their clothes with them. And we went to Milwaukee. And so my locker is like the first one as you enter in. So he comes out with my sweater on, my mock neck that he stretched to oblivious.
First off, how upset were you about that?
I did not know. First of all, I kept looking at him like, he don't wear mock necks. So I ain't paying no mind. I don't even know if we won the game. But the point, when we got back to the locker room, he takes the damn thing off and he says, Perk, this is yours. He took somebody else's belt and said, this is yours. He had somebody jacket and said, I can't even remember. But all I remember is my stretch mock. My neck, my half neck turtleneck was stretched to oblivion because his big head went all through it, and then his neck was bigger than mine. And I was like, no, you didn't. And you know how coaches sweat profusely. This thing was ringing. I could not wear it.
Did you ever wear it again?
No.
Did it go right in the trash?
Dog, I don't even know what happened to it.
All right, Coach. Did Sam ever ask to borrow your clothes after that?
No, I'm not a clothes junkie like Larry Brown and a couple other Carolina guys. I'm a top of the pile guy. I don't like wearing suits. I hate it when I put them on. I put them on about 5 minutes before I go out and take them off before 5 minutes after I get off the court. But that is a true story. I somehow forgot, or whatever clothes I brought didn't work, and I just went around and put together an outfit. Sam had nice stuff too. I mean, it was expensive stuff, more expensive than I normally wore. But Sam was a great teammate. So much fun in Seattle with him. And when we picked him up, it's kind of when we went from a good team in Seattle to a championship team and a contending team in Seattle. And having a Tar Heel with you is always fun in big games because they're calm but they're serious. They're not afraid of the moment. They got courage to play the defensive end of the court. And Sam was so much prominent in our great run in Seattle, and it was a lot of fun having him on. As he's probably one of the closest guys I had in all my coaching because of our connection with Carolina.
George Lynch and Matt, I want to ask each of you. George, we're going to start with you. Do you have a humorous story about interacting with any of the fellow family members from UNC that just still brings a smile to your face after all these years?
Oh, yeah. Tons of them. I remember my rookie year getting drafted by the Lakers, going from being a small town kid in Virginia, playing in a big stage in Chapel Hill, and then going to one of the most storied franchises in the NBA with the Lakers. I had James Worthy as a veteran. It was towards the end of his career, his last 2 years. And the time that I jumped off the plane for my press conference in LA, he was there to support me. He was like, look, if you need anything, you're part of the family, just let me know. When choosing, they had this thing where they chose the rookie. The rookie had to do certain things for the veteran before and after practice. He made sure I was his veteran. He probably took it a little easier than some of the other veterans had. I mean, some of the other younger players had as a gopher for the veterans. But those memories meant a lot. You know, my first few years in the league, as you make your rounds through the NBA teams, you know, playing in Chicago, Michael would check on you. Know the guys like Rick Fox, who was with the Celtics. They would always check on you and make sure that you had what you needed to be successful as a pro. And it carried on. And they let me know, you know, when it's your turn, when you got younger guys coming through, you should do the same thing. And that was part of the tradition for the veterans who played at the professional level to bring the young guys in and up at, you know, encourage them and show them the ways of the NBA.
Coach Daugherty, you get the last word on this segment. Humorous memories from family interactions or just something that stands out?
There's always humorous, you know, just touching. You know, I remember Michael was getting ready to retire from the Bulls, and I was working as an assistant for Roy Williams at Kansas, and I wanted to go see him play in a playoff game. And they were playing the Utah Jazz. They closed out the Jazz. Michael and I and his wife at the time went to dinner at a restaurant he owned. And he let me take one of his cars. And I was staying at a hotel. He said, be back at my house at 8:30. We'll play golf all day. Or 7:30, we'll eat breakfast, play golf all day. We teed off at 8:30. We had a foursome. And we rolled our last putts in at 8:30 at night. We played 54 holes of golf. 54. This is a day after a playoff game. And I remember guy coming up on the golf. First of all, the phone rings. I'm with Michael in the cart. And phone rings. Hey, Tiger, how you doing? What'd you shoot today? Tiger Woods. This is in like 1996. Tiger played at the Byron Nelson. And he's calling Michael. And Michael said, yeah, he played here last week with me, set the course record. And then a couple of holes later, guy pulls up in a shirt and tie, drives away. I said, who is that? He says, that's the general manager. He says, President Bush, the father, was coming to Chicago and wants to play golf with me. And I said, well, what'd you tell him? He says, I don't want to play golf with the president. He says, you got all these Secret Service men around. You can't be playing with your boys. It's not as much fun. I say, here's Michael Jordan, just blew off the president of the United States. You know, 54 holes of golf. We teed off at 8:30, rolled the last putts at 8:30, the day after a playoff game.
Well, I want you to know when I played him in the finals in 96, he was playing 36 holes on a day of a playoff game. And still go out and kick your ass. So, I mean, he was an amazing athlete. You know, he could push the limits of sleep. He could most push the limits of physicality and still be an unbelievably great performer. And I admire him for it.
At one point earlier in this century, Michael Jordan was probably the best known athlete on the planet. There were places in the world with no TV, internet, newspapers, or even indoor plumbing. But people in every corner of the world knew MJ. But as famous as he would eventually become, Michael Jordan was just like every other member of Coach Smith's basketball family, a Tar Heel at his core. Dean Smith created a bond between Carolina basketball players and staff that has lasted for generations. And the family is strong, thriving, and still growing. It's a legacy that is unique in the history of basketball. Here's one final story from Tar Heel great Brad Daugherty about what Coach Smith did for his players when he passed away in 2015.
It was unbelievable. So we go and, you know, we have his memorial service, and I was so honored by his family to be asked to speak on behalf of some of the guys. So it was myself and Phil Ford and Antoine Jameson. And so we had that event in the Smith Center, and it was unbelievable. You know, 20,000 people there, and we're telling Coach Smith stories and saying goodbye. And we go through that and do that. And then the next day I go back home and I go into my office and there's a letter on my desk. And so sat there for a little while. I wasn't paying attention to it. Something from Chapel Hill. I figured Alumni Association wanting money again or something. So I just let it sit there. And eventually I get around to opening it that evening. And I open it up, and it said a letter from Coach. It said, Bradley. He called me Bradley. He said, Bradley, he said, here's $200. He said, I want you to go out and have dinner on Coach. And it's unbelievable. And there was a check for $200 made out to me to take my wife out to dinner. Just unbelievable. And he did that for all of his players and managers who were under his guidance for those almost 40 years. So just unbelievable. Unbelievable. Even posthumously, we're in his thought. You know? And just remarkable, remarkable, remarkable person.
That, folks, is what we call a drop the mic moment. We hope you enjoyed our four-part series on the Carolina basketball family. Special thanks to my producer and co-host, Bruce Bernstein, as well as our editor, Kristen Woolley. If you enjoyed this series, we featured some selected video segments on our Pure Hoops Media YouTube channel. Go to YouTube and search Pure Hoops Media. Thanks for listening. I'm Mike Wise.
The Mike Wise Show used to be called The Wise Ass Show, but it remains a presentation of Pure Hoops Media.